Well, praise the Lord. Let's get back into our word. We're trusting the Lord to speak to us today and to bless our hearts with his word. Back in the book of Revelation. Are y'all tired of the book of Revelation yet?
No.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. We got a ways to go. Thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you, number one, Lord, for just for the facility to come in, to have a reasonable degree of comfort, to study your word, to sing songs of Zion, to give testimonies, O God, to pray to you and trust and believe you, O God. We hope, Lord, that we'll find favor with you today as we look into this study of the book of the Revelation. Open our hearts and our minds so that we can see and believe what thus saith the Lord into our hearts this day. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're in Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 9. By the way of review, this book started out telling us, the reader, that it was written to tell God's servants the things which must shortly come to pass. That's what it says at the very beginning there in chapter 1 of Revelation. To tell God's servants the things which must shortly come to pass. See, John wrote that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he encountered on that day the Lord himself. Well, it makes sense. He was the Beloved. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so Jesus makes another unannounced visit to the disciple. Jesus proclaimed when he appeared, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. John was instructed to write, and write he did. He wrote to the seven churches of Asia Minor, the church of Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis, Philadelphia and Laodicea. All were given specific, individual, and significant messages when he wrote. When John described the throne in heaven as he continued, he mentioned an emerald rainbow around the throne. And he mentioned lightnings, and he mentioned thunderings and voices that he heard that came out of it. He mentioned a crystal sea, things that he saw, which was before it. And then he mentioned the four beasts that he saw, and some accounts say that they really should be called living creatures. But he mentioned these living creatures sitting before the throne. And then around this throne, he mentioned 20 and four elders that sat as well. And they had crowns on their heads. And these are the things that he already described. Then he added those elders and began to talk about that. And he would say, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. That's what they say. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. And so only one person this can be subscribed to, and it's Jesus. He created all things, and all things were created by him and for him, the scripture tells us. We made it to the opening of the first four of the seven seals by what the book describes as the Lamb as it had been slain. And so this Lamb was the only one that could open these seven seals. And we made it that far. And in Revelation 6, 9, it says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, now he's going on, the fifth seal, he said, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had. He saw under the altar souls that were under the altar. After the rapture of the church, many were saved on the earth. Many were still getting saved after the rapture of the church. Many were saved on the earth, or will be saved. They're called the tribulation saints. And so the work of salvation will continue on the earth after the rapture. And during this time, world leaders will launch an all-out assault against people of faith. They're going to want to cleanse the land. And their cleansing of the land is going to be the destruction of what is called they of the way, or the church. The persecution is going to come against those that have accepted Jesus during this particular period. So the opening of the fifth seal switches to, from the deaths of unbelievers when the we saw the four horsemen come out. It was the different plagues and things and different powers that were given to the four horsemen to do, to take peace from the earth, to bring destruction, to do different destructive things. Those four horsemen in the beginning of the chapter were coming in, and they were given power to bring destruction on the earth, and that would be on the unsaved. But here it's changing from the destruction of the unsaved to the destruction and death of believers. And so we see that this goes on, and that not only were the unbelievers being killed, but the believers were as well. The seal, the opening of that seal, depicts those who die and either go to hell or go to heaven in chapter 6. Either those who die during this time, either they go to hell or they go to heaven. Okay? Up until this point, the four beasts had opened the four seals, and each seal would summon a horse and a rider. This last three seals will be different. No horse and no rider will appear. So there are four horses and four riders. Jesus will not forget those that take a stand for his name. He has them all gathered together in the same place under the altar. Under the altar. It should seem obvious that most of these that are saved during the tribulation period will come from maybe from Christian homes where they were taught the Bible, or they had listened to the Bible, or they had gone to teaching, but they never made that choice. But they might have come from Christian homes, and man, we remember, oh man, I remember them talking about this event. I remember them talking about this rapture, and I just didn't take it seriously. And so they could have come from Christian homes. Other school would probably be the Jews that finally realize who the true Messiah is, and they go, we will accept this Jesus. It would be them. It'll be some who have went on and they acknowledge their sin and they've confessed their sin and they have accepted the Lord. So it would be those that come to realize the work of Christ on the cross. But there will be those that will be saved during the tribulation. They call them tribulation saints. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, fear not those that can kill the body, that can kill the body only. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So the souls that are under the altar realized that the Antichrist could kill only the body, but that God could raise them from the dead. They knew that. And so they've taken the words of Jesus to heart, and they did not fear the work of the evil one. Revelation 6:10 goes on and says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge them and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Unlike those that received their glorified bodies in the rapture, the souls of the tribulation saints are under the altar crying out instead of rejoicing and praising God around the throne with the rest of the church. Remember, around the throne, they're having church. Mm-hmm. It's not noise, but it's a lot of, we have to call it noise because I don't know what else to call it. But it's heaven. It can't be noisy. Noisy is negative. You know, noisy is bad. So it's noisy in a good way. You got the four living creatures. You got the 24 elders. You got the lightnings, the thunders. You got the voices. You got the colors. He never could see the one sitting on the throne. All he could see was the emanation of the colors coming from. How great this must have been, you see. But these souls that are under the altar are not rejoicing. They're not participating. They're saved, but they're still under there, and they are waiting. They're not praising around the throne with the rest of the church. These saints will have to wait until later to get theirs. They got to wait. They will be fully conscious of their persecution. They will be fully conscious of their torture and murder that they have endured. And they have a sense, even have a sense of justice under this altar. And they want to be raised, vindicated, and given their glorified bodies. They're desirous of this. They're ready for this. They want it, but they are being kept under the altar. The cries of these souls under the altar pretty much mimic or echoes Psalms 94, 1 through 3, which says this: O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long can the wicked triumph? And it echoes that. And they're pretty much echoing the same thing. How long shall the wicked triumph? It has amazed me to see a cigar smoking, cussing, nasty man benefiting from some of the good, as we call it, the good things in life. And we're struggling eating bologna and making cheese toast and living for God, you know? Amen. It's amazing. And it looks like they're being blessed, but I can tell you what, they ain't being blessed. This is as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. There's a man that writes a book that says, Your best life now. He says, God wants you to have your best life now. If you die without Jesus, this is your best life. Amen. Because it only gets worse after this.
Amen.
It doesn't get better. It gets worse if you don't have Christ. And so we have a lot of teachers out there, and they're like the one I'm talking about, which I won't even bother to call his name. They call what he has a church. But what he's teaching and preaching is not all scriptural. I don't have a problem with people making a living, but you call it what it is.
Right.
Don't call yourself a pastor if you're not pastoring. If you're not pastoring according to the word.
Right.
This person is a motivational speaker. And a good one. An excellent motivational speaker. Just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Just call it what it is, because he's really toying with heaven or hell with this. And if I call his name, of course, some of y'all might already know who I'm talking. But if you look at the number of people in this Colosseum, it's not like a church building. It's like a Colosseum. I mean, this is like a giant sports event. And all of these people are coming every week to hear him. And the question is, are they even hearing the gospel at all? Are they being led to Christ at all? Are they being made to believe then that they're okay? Because God says we're all okay. You know? I mean, just hearing it, that's good. But you have to come face to face with your sin. You have to come face to face with your sin and say, Lord, I'm a wretch undone. I need help. You can't say, I'm okay, you're okay, all God's children's okay. We all just fine. We ain't got to do nothing else. Just keep coming and buying them books. And make them positive confessions and stay positive, and, you know, God will reward you for it. You know, people going to hell behind that. You ain't going to be nothing positive about being in hell. There's nothing positive there. If you're in hell and you get hot, I'm thinking about how bad it can get, and you see a thermostat and you turn it down to zero, it's just gonna get hotter. It ain't gonna cool. You know, it's not gonna cool. You know, there's no comfort there. And people are being robbed on a constant basis who will not be confronted with their sin. Now, it's God's place to confront them, not you. Understand? So, you know, you can't play God. You're not God. I'm not God. But we, you know, we have to be a giver of information, at least. We have to at least share the information, accurate information. So anyway, that's all right. Lord went over there. So Revelation 6:11, and it says, after they had cried for vindication, it says, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And so the souls of the tribulation saints receives an answer in the form of a white robe, of white robes to wear until the plan of Jesus is completed. The white robe symbolizes the righteousness of Jesus. And so it says, just rest. Just relax, just rest until the others will come as you, that will be killed as you. It's of interest to note that the martyrs will be able to hear and understand and communicate because Jesus tells them to be patient and wait until everyone else is killed like them. So God has a plan. And when you say killed, you mean God expecting? Yep. That's why it's called tribulation. That's why it's called tribulation. A lot of killing and a lot of death is going to take place during that period. A lot of people are going to be destroyed during that period. That's why it's called tribulation. Revelation 6:12 goes on and says, and I beheld when he opened the sixth seal. See, he's moving on now. The sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood. This is the sixth of the seven seals. When this seal was opened, the earth went into convulsions, and the appearance of the sun and the moon were changed. Absolutely changed. The sun was made black, it says, like sackcloth. Some have felt that the quake could be triggered by a nuclear explosion. Now remember, and I was thinking about this, you know, I thought God was doing this, but I thought back that those four horsemen were given power to take peace from the earth, that men should kill other men, you see. And so as I'm thinking about, well, okay, so take it easy there. There's a good chance men are going to be doing this because they were given power to take peace from the earth. That means no more peace. So you won't be, when you take your walk, if you take your walk in that situation, you're going to have to be strapped. You know?
Keep your peace.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to leave home with your peace, you know, and that'll be your peacemaker. And there will be no peace. You won't know what this person is coming towards you is going to do. You see, is that a person of peace or not? Because peace has been broken in the earth. And so that means there will be all kinds of horrible things done. You think a home invasion will happen. They'll be home invading the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
You see? They're just going home to home to home. Oh, no, the murderers are in the neighborhood. You know, it would be a horrible, terrible time. That's why I don't know about you, but I don't want to be here. If the rapture takes place, now I want to go. I want to be raptured, you know? I want to get out of here. And if I die and it don't take place, then fine. I know when I'm raised, I'll still be before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
And not the white throne judgment and ready to go into the lake of fire. See? So either way, you got either good stuff ahead or bad stuff ahead. That's why, y'all, you got to make sure you got this thing right.
Amen.
All of you, I'm telling you. You make sure you got this thing right. Now, you don't say, well, when I die, I'm going. Well, okay, but it's not over. Yeah, it is not over. This is the day of salvation, the scriptures say. Now is the time. Now is the time to make that choice to turn to him. And if you don't feel like you need to turn to him, go talk to him about that. Find out, see what he feels about it. But we got to be sure, y'all. We got to be sure.
Amen.
You can't come in this building every Sunday. You got no excuse.
Amen.
I don't know how plainer I can put it. You will have no excuse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You stand before the white throne judge and say, I went to church every Sunday. And they say, you're right. Yeah, and they start playing back these messages. They say, well, did you hear that? Well, yeah, I heard it. Yeah, well, did you accept it? Well, I did hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Depart from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Depart from me. And don't look over at me talking about pastor. I can't help you. I can't help you. I tried to tell you over and over and over and over and over again. I have not neglected to tell you over and over and over and over again. Make sure you got this thing right. Make sure you got it right. Spend some time with him. Make sure. So like I say, some felt that this quake could be triggered by a nuclear explosion. Now in 1980, the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens and the 2001 collapse of the World Trade Center towers were reminders that darkness can cover the land and the brightness of the day. That darkness, just those destructions, darkness can cover the land. The prophet Joel wrote in Joel 2:31, between the years of 835 and 796 B.C., the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. The darkness of the sun could indicate a large-scale solar eclipse. We've seen an eclipse in this past year or so. And so it could be a large-scale solar eclipse. People were bringing out lawn chairs and going and sitting out in the open field waiting for the eclipse to take place. And it's sitting like, oh, there it is! And the thing would go, the shadow come, and they go on by. I'm like, man, I ain't gonna go and look for no eclipse. It's like a cloud or something passing by. You know, it's just darkness, right? Just tell me about it. But it could be that. It could be an eclipse. And the redness of the moon could indicate a lunar eclipse because the moon changes colors when there's a lunar eclipse. There are so many ways to explain some of these things that may take place. I know that whatever happens is possible to happen. Revelation is already telling us. It could also indicate a supernatural event like what happened on the crucifixion day of Christ Jesus, when there was an earthquake and there was darkness for 3 hours. 3 hours. Earthquake and darkness for 3 total hours. Whatever this is, one thing for sure, it's going to be massive. It's going to be massive. These things that the scripture is telling us about. In Revelation 6:13, it says, and the stars of heaven shall fall unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now, I was doing some studying, and the golden rule of interpretation states that when the plain sense of scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. In the plain sense, make common sense, then seek no other sense. But this verse does not make plain sense. Most stars are larger than the earth. So if it did happen, it would decimate the earth. So it could be meteor, or it could be a meteor shower. It could be a missile attack. Looks like stars coming. Could be a missile attack. And something like that. This was what happened during the Persian Gulf War, for instance, when in the night skies, it was filled with cruise missiles and laser-guided smart bombs at night. I mean, you could see them coming. You remember George Bush shocking all night, he said? And you could see them look like stars falling. It could be that. It could be any number of things. This could be what John saw 2,000 years ago. Well, how do you explain in 2,000 years ago about cruise missiles, smart bombs? He wouldn't know about that. All he knows is that we know that stars fall. But it said the stars will fall. And then on the other hand, this may be an actual description of stars falling. It could be an actual description of stars falling. The only thing protecting the Earth right now from multiple celestial bodies crashing into it is our present atmosphere. That's what's protecting us now. It's the present atmosphere, which when these bodies start to come through, they burn up. Most of them can't make it through the atmosphere to the Earth. Well, God can tamper with that little atmosphere we got. You know? It's nothing for him. He made this place. He can, now they're already talking about the ozone layer opening up and rays, harmful rays of the sun coming through. We're just talking about sun's rays earlier today with that water canopy. But they're talking about scientifically the ozone layer, which with man polluting the air, is breaking, making holes into the atmosphere that protects us. And now this layer is being opened up, and now more harmful effects of the sun's rays are coming in and causing all kinds of problems on the Earth. You see, and this heat, crazy heat, 102, 103 degrees. Man, you know? And that's what man is causing. We don't need to cause it, but that's what man is causing on the Earth, you know, with our waste, with our use, with our overuse of things. And so we're protected then just by that particular barrier, because if that barrier is not there, they'll get through. He knew what he was doing when he made this Earth and the way he set it up and the atmosphere that he set it up. So if a body gets out of orbit and comes towards my Earth, before it can get to my Earth, the friction of it's trying to enter. You've seen the stars go. You've seen the tails on. They're burn up. And in Russia, they had one that made all the way through, and a big giant flash that they had a film of it. A big giant flash took place, and it's out on the internet where one got through. You see. And so that's just one. But that atmosphere affected or changed just the slightest. Do you know that the Lord has this Earth set up in such a way, on such an orbit, and such a tilt, and in such a location in the solar system, gravitationally, so that this one has a gravitational pull, and all of them got different gravity. This one way out got a big giant mass. They're just a massive, planets. And then here is little Earth that holds, and we have life held on this Earth. A perfect combination for men that God made and put on this Earth. He fixed it for us. And everything is working, I believe, in the solar system to support us right here on this Earth. Everything is perfectly done. And the slightest little tilt of the Earth will throw all of this out of balance. The distance from us to the sun is a perfect distance so that the sun don't burn us up. That thing come a little closer and it would scorch us to death. A little further out and we freeze. I mean, you want to talk about somebody doing their math right. Man, God got this thing so perfectly. I mean, we're just right in the right spot so we won't burn up or freeze to death. No sun, no life. The sun went out, no life. Nothing's going to grow. Where's the heat? We're not going to make it. He's got us perfectly situated. The way he set this and set the stars and everything is perfectly. We are his crowning achievement. We are his crowning achievement. There's nothing else made like man in God's creation. The Bible says the angels desire to look into this thing. They're like, wow, what does he want with all that dirt? Yeah. How's he going to use that pile of dirt? You see, the man already messed up. You mean God going to die for that? He's going to die for them? He's supposed to destroy them, you know? No, yeah. I hear he's headed down there now. I hear he's going. As a matter of fact, Gabriel went and spoke to a young lady. Say what? Mm-hmm. He sure did. Went and spoke to her, made the announcement. And by the way, he's already in her womb. God is in her womb. Yep. He's going to be born shortly, too. Mm-hmm. The angels are going like, wow, what in the world is going on? Mm-hmm. Our God is an awesome,
awesome God.
You know, he made himself a little lower than the angels to become a man. Because the Bible says man is made a little lower than the angels. God, who is above all, higher than all, the highest of height, came all the way down below even his created angelic beings to become a man. And why did he do that? To redeem man. Why? Because he has to be satisfied. His justice must be satisfied. And since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. An angel could not have done it. Now, an angel fell too. Satan fell, but there's no redemption for angels. They don't get to do this. They might be able to choose, but they don't have a right to choose. He gave man a right to choose. He says, now all this you can have, but this one is mine. If you do it, you'll die. He didn't say, you better not do it. He said, if you do it, you'll die. So that gave him an opportunity to choose. He had that right. And so God said, well, I'm going to go. He knew they were going to do it. And so he became a man. He said, sacrifice and offerings are wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And he came down, and God got into that body and came as a little child, and he grew to become a man for the express purpose of doing something that God cannot do otherwise. God can't die, but man can. And in order to die, he had to become a man in order to die. That's why he came. He became a man because there needed to be a sacrifice. There needed to be a lamb offered. A spotless lamb. A perfect lamb. And he became that lamb in the form of a man to die for the sins of man. Then he says, all you gotta do is accept what I've done and you'll become a new creation.
Amen.
That's all. Just accept what I've done and you'll become a new creation. He's done all the work. All we need to do is accept it. Amen. Revelation 6:14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their place. You know, some seem to think that it might indicate a coming nuclear war. Man is so dumb. They're making nuclear bombs. That's the dumbest thing in the world. Man can't handle that. Some idiot is going to push the button, you know. Some idiot is going to start a war, and it's just going to be chain reaction. During a nuclear blast, I'm going to have to read this to you, but you'll appreciate it, I think. During a nuclear blast, the wind is rapidly pushed out. That means it's displaced for several miles, creating a vacuum at the center of the blast site. That'd be ground zero, something like that.
Yeah.
Suddenly, this wind, like a giant tidal wave, rushes violently back into the vacuum. The sky actually rolls up on itself. It says there in the scripture that the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together,
yeah.
And every mountain and island is moved. The sky actually rolls up on itself. This explosion will be so great, it will cause every mountain and island on earth to move. A nuclear explosion could do that. Skeptics say God will never allow these things to happen. They say it's impossible to move mountains and islands, but the world will long remember The world will long remember the 9.0 earthquake in the Indian Ocean on December 26, 2004. That scientists had packed the energy of a million atomic bombs. It caused a tsunami with waves 30 feet high, traveling at 500 miles per hour. You will not outrun that. The waves struck 10 nations, killed more than 100,000 people, injured more than 500,000, and left millions homeless. Islands were moved from their original locations. One report said the island of Sumatra, an island of about 30 million people and mountains 12,000 feet high, moved 100 feet to the southwest.
Wow.
Another report said the Earth wobbled in its orbit and time stopped for 3 microseconds. It reminds us of the sun standing still for almost a day, Joshua 10:12-13, and later moving backwards 10 degrees, 2 Kings 20:9-11. In Old Testament times, and it reminds us that the Bible predicts a time when the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut, in Isaiah 24:20. Don't say God won't let it happen. Be thankful for the grace that's holding it back until the church is out of here.
Amen.
Be thankful for the grace that is holding all of this back.
Yeah.
Until the church is out of here. And I can tell you, when God takes us out of here, all you know what is going to break loose on this earth.
Amen.
Again, people think that they want to be rid of the church. They're ready to kill us right now. They think that we're just in the way. We're full of hate speech, and we're just taking up a lot of space and using up their air. They think that they want to get rid of us. But what they don't know is that we're the ones that's holding all of this back that will come in when we're taken out of the way.
Amen.
They don't realize what a blessing it is to have the church in their midst.
Amen.
And they want to attack us. And they want to say we're a bunch of kooks for believing that Jesus walked on the water. And that Peter walked with him. That Jesus raised a young girl from the dead. And Jesus raised another young man when they were taking him to bury him. That we're kooks to believe in that stuff. Well, I'm a kook. Hallelujah. I'm a fanatic. Praise the Lord. I'm a fan for Jesus. And I believe it. I believe he did it. I believe Jesus walked this earth. And there's more historical proof that shows that a man named Jesus did walk this earth.
Yeah, true.
And I believe that he did what he said that he did. I believe that he is who he say that he is. And I believe he's coming back like he said he would. And I'm looking for him to come. And you do the same. The Bible says to comfort one another with these words. That he's coming again. He's coming to get this church. And I'm saying you want to be ready when he comes. Whatever. If you die before, you still want to be ready.
Right.
You want to leave here right.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. You want to live right today. Uh-huh. See? Just in case he comes in this generation. I've been waiting since 1980. I'm still waiting. I say, this is great. I'll be in the generation that'll go. The only generation that'll never see death. So I'm 67 now, you know. But that's okay, see?
Amen.
But listen. God has, you know yourself that God has done a work in your life. You know who you were before you got saved and who you are after you got saved. And you can look at your own life and tell, my goodness, I can look at mine and say, boy, y'all so lucky. If I could use the term that God changed me, he changed me. Lord knows he changed me. I'm serious. He did a work on me, y'all. Because all I was doing was getting more and more evil and worse and worse and worse. I wasn't no holiness coming out of this boy, him.
Amen.
It was just bad. I was just bad news.
Amen.
You know, sneaky news. Bad sneaky news. Yeah. You wouldn't know I'd been there. You know? All you know is you're missing stuff. Don't leave me in the house with your woman, you know. Craziness, man. Bad heart. badness. I know that I know that I know that he changed me.
Amen.
I'm still learning. I'm still growing, y'all. He's still cleaning me up, y'all. He's still working on me. You know, you got to know this, you know. Hey, you know, let me tell you this. My first pastor, he used to like to pray for people. And a lady called him and said, Pastor Smith, I got a headache. Would you please come over and pray for me? Oh, okay, sister, I'll be right there. He went to the door. She opened the door. She had on next to nothing. And a little negligee. He looked at her and he said, stick your head out the door. Bless her right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Smart man.
That's smart man.
Yeah, no. Stick your head out the door. I thought that was funny, man. That's what you got to do. Men, y'all got to do that now. Don't go to somebody, I'm strong. I can handle it. You know, anyway, I love my wife. Listen, say, stick your head out the door, sister. Yeah. Well, can't you come? No, I can't come here. I made some tea. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm standing right out here. You're not strong as you think you are. You're not strong as you think you are. So, well, praise the Lord. I just thought you'd like to hear about that.
Yeah. Good word, man.
Praise the Lord.
Good word.
Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you for taking us on this journey and giving us the liberty, Lord, to investigate these issues the way that you have.
Yeah.
And for the information that you've allowed to flow into us and help us, Lord, to benefit in the manner that pleases you, and that we, Lord, can be and can grow thereby and then be a blessing in this world today. Touch us, Lord, today as only you can. We once again say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.